Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more. Well, good morning, everybody. I love Christmas. I love Jesus. You know, it is easy for all of us, and I feel like maybe a little bit warranted at times, but throughout the last couple years, to feel deflated and feel justified in our struggles, to complain. And the Bible says to bring your complaints before the Lord. It's okay to do that. But what I love so much about Jesus and Christmas is the opportunity for us to be reminded who our hope comes from. Hope is a person. Peace is a person, and that is Jesus. So I'm reminded of that and encouraged today by that. Jesus Christ, alive in you is the hope of glory. Amen? Amen? Amen. All right, well, we are in a series this Christmas season called Come to the Manger, and we've been covering a number of the different participants in the nativity story and those who made their journey towards the manger, and that is to experience Jesus, that one true hope. And so we're going to carry that on today. And our reading is going to be from Matthew chapter 2. And I'm going to read from the New King James Version. So pay attention to the English in this. This is really fun. We don't refer to this often, but there is a reason I want to go back to this translation today, and we'll get to that a little later. So why don't we pray, and then we're going to read the scripture together. King Jesus, King of Kings, we come before you this morning, Lord. We come bowed low in worship, and we ask that you would speak to us this morning, that your scripture would come alive in our hearts and remind us of the hope that is in you, Christ Jesus. So we still our hearts right now. We tune them towards you. We fix our attention on you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, otherwise referred to as magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod, the king, heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They, the chief priests, replied to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" We're going to read all the way to verse 12, by the way. "Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent out to he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw that the young child with his mother Mary, they saw him, and they fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, They presented gifts to him of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Amen. Oh, iPads are cool. I have three different apps that I'm switching between this morning. Okay, so Matthew chapter 2, come to the manger. Here in these first 12 verses, we have three different groups or peoples represented who are all on their journey or their attempted journeys to the manger. We have Herod, the priests, and the Magi. Each of these groups represent three different responses that we can have to Jesus this Christmas season. Let's jump right in. The first one that we have is Herod. Herod, in verse 3, first of all, the Magi, they ask, where is the one who's to be born king of the Jews? Then King Herod heard this, and he was greatly disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. So here we have King Herod. He is the king, and he is hearing reports of this one who is to be born king of the Jews. Immediately threatened, Herod goes on the offense to try to discover where this supposed king is. He tries to track down Jesus, and he uses the Magi and he uses the priests to try and do this. I have a great quote here from Reverend Daryl Johnson I want to read to you. Herod reacted with great fear that led to intense hostility because he perceived Jesus to be a threat. Jesus comes into the world to bring abundant life, but that abundant life is experienced only where he is allowed to rule. He is Savior only where he is allowed to be Lord. He is Redeemer where he is allowed to be Master. Herod had two choices: either get in line with the agenda of the new king or get rid of the new king. Herod chose the latter. He wanted to remain in charge of his own life, to be his own Lord, and to have the last word. King Herod's throne was threatened. He faced a threatened throne. King Herod was facing the possibility of somebody else coming in and taking up lordship of the land and all that he had built. This first group of people represented, I believe, are all of us. We are faced with a choice. Are we going to let ourselves remain on the throne, or are we going to allow that to be King Jesus? The second group is the chiefs and the priests. We don't hear a lot about them, but I think that's actually really important. I apologize for whatever is happening here. King Herod, it says in verse 4-6, he calls them together, the chief priests and the scribes, and he asks them to recite the scriptures. And what did they do? They recite the scriptures. These guys know the word. They say, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. And then they go on to quote the scriptures. The priests are an interesting group because that's the last time that we hear of them. But they're actually recalling in that moment the prophecy of the one who they believe will eventually come. And here they're in a room with King Herod and the Magi, and they're standing there. They recite the scriptures. They've got these guys who have traveled up to, possibly even more, 1,100 kilometers west from the east to come and see the fulfillment of this prophecy. They're standing in the same room. They recite the very scriptures that they believe in, and that's the last that we hear of them. Isn't that interesting? These guys did nothing. They had the opportunity here to follow these Magi, at least out of curiosity, and they did nothing. The second group of people that are represented here are those of us who are indifferent. We were warned of this in the summer in our Mark series about the chief, the priests and the Pharisees. Those among us who may know the most, who may be the most well-read in Scripture, who may have the most experience, the most wisdom even, the most time, and yet when we're faced with the opportunity of beholding in wonder the fulfillment of the prophecies, we do nothing. Indifference is so dangerous. The book of Revelation warns us very firmly from Jesus, saying, talking about being lukewarm, and that he would rather we be cold than lukewarm or indifferent. Hebrews 2 gives a warning as well, and it says to heed the words, lest we drift away. Drifting is not a sudden rush being swept away in a river. Drifting is being on that floaty in the middle of the lake and you kind of doze off for a little bit. And then all of a sudden you wake up and you're on the other side of the lake. You don't know how it happened. You didn't even feel it, but you find yourself drifting away. The chief priests in this story are a warning to us to keep those things fresh in our hearts, to keep our hearts soft towards the Scriptures. In Psalm 77, it says, I will remember the good deeds of the Lord. I will recall the things that he has done. How do we keep ourselves, protect ourselves from becoming indifferent? Gratitude. Often recalling and recounting the good things that the Lord has done. Today's an invitation to stay hot. Don't become lukewarm. The third group, and this is where we'll spend most of our time, is the Magi. The Magi, this word is used often in the Bible, actually, and for a number of different reasons. Bar Jesus, I forget what book it is, but he's referred to as a Magi, but it also means a sorcerer or a false prophet, and that's what he was referred to, Bar Jesus. This is not the same use of it for these men. These were likely astrologers. You guys, I'm sure, know this, but they were very well versed in reading the skies and obviously the history of the Scriptures as well, because they knew when they saw the star rising in the east that something was different. And they were able to recall the prophecies. And that's in Numbers 24:17, if you're interested to read how they would know that. The rising of the star, there will be a star of Jacob that will come. So they were watching the skies and they saw this difference. So these guys were astrologers. They weren't magicians or sorcerers, but they were extremely wealthy, very well regarded. They were executive levels amongst in the land, you could say. We don't actually know how many of them there were. We say three because there were three gifts given, but we don't know. And they likely came from the area around Babylon. And as I said before, Jerusalem and Bethlehem was approximately 1,100 kilometers. So these guys were rich, filthy rich, likely. They were not believers, but they knew the Scriptures, and they were well-respected men. Let's read about what they did. I'm going to go down to, well, first of all, they saw the star and they traveled. Then they heard from the other men that, from the chief priests, that from Bethlehem they will go. So they go down to Bethlehem. And in verse 9, we pick up, it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen when it rose ahead of them in the east went before them to the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. I actually think we have a couple slides. Yeah, we do. So we're going to hop back into the New King James here because this is really interesting. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they fell down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him gifts. And then verse 12, the last one, it says, then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. So four really interesting things happen here with the Magi. The third group, whom I hope we all will order our lives kind of around or associate with this group. Joy. I love the scripture because it says they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. It's really interesting. I mean, in the other translations, it just says they were overjoyed. But the New King James Version specifically says they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. It's so redundant. Four different expressions of joy. They rejoiced with joy, that's redundant, and exceedingly and great, also redundant. So why does it say that? I think because it was immeasurable. The joy that they saw, and why were they overjoyed? Because they saw the star. This tells us that, first of all, we have a bonus group that is on its way to the manger, and that is the star. It says in the scripture that the star rose in the east. So the Magi had to look to the east. I don't know if this is actually east. I didn't bring my compass with me this morning. But they would have seen the star rise in the east, and they turned west to go to Jerusalem. The scriptures don't actually say that they followed the star all the way from the east to the west. There's actually a gap there. And we know that because they say here in this verse that they saw the star again, which means the star somehow reappeared. We don't know the distance and the time of how long that journey actually took for the wise men to get to Jerusalem, but somehow the star reappeared. So for them, it was a confirmation that they were on the right track. The star reappeared. And why do I say that the star is the bonus group going to the manger? Because all of creation is pulled towards the presence of Jesus. We have humans, and here we have creation reordering itself and being drawn into the presence of Jesus. How amazing is that? What a confirmation. I don't have any stars following me. Jesus is so wonderful. So the first thing is they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The second thing is that they fell down to worship. I think this is such a beautiful picture. These guys were highly esteemed. They knew their position in society. And yet somehow they knew that they were in the presence of the greatest king, the king of all kings. And what did they do? They fell down and they worshiped. We have the opportunity to come before King Jesus in worship, to lower ourselves. I think so often we try to puff ourselves up to make ourselves feel great. Sometimes we even put others down to make ourselves feel bigger. But these men, if we can take anything from them, it is that we're to bow low, humbly, before the king in worship. The third thing that the kings did was that they brought gifts. Oh, is this falling right off? Did it even move? Something moved. Weird. It did. It moved behind my ear. We're okay, John? They brought gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gold is a gift that is meant for kings. Frankincense is incense used in worship. And myrrh is two things. Myrrh was used for the anointing of kings when they came into power, and it's also used for embalming. These guys, These guys knew what was going on. They knew the stories of the scripture. They knew who this king was. They knew that when they came into his presence and brought these gifts before him, that he was the king, that he was deserving of worship, and that he would one day sacrifice his life for ours. I love that these guys bring these gifts. I see those memes online about, then the wives showed up and brought casseroles and diapers. That's for Mary. These gifts were not for Mary. These gifts were for Jesus, this baby. Yeah, Mary probably could have used a good casserole. But these kings didn't come for Mary. They came for Jesus. The fourth and final thing is their lives were changed. We don't know why they spent so much time studying the scriptures and the old prophecies, but they knew them. But they carried on. It doesn't say anything about their faith in the beginning of, you know, that they had believed these things to be true and anything like that. But in the last verse, where is it here? The dream. Yeah, verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. So coming into the presence of Jesus changed these guys' lives. They received a dream supernaturally, and they heeded that dream. Their lives were changed. Not only did they receive this dream, but they were obedient, and that is a great symbol of life transformation, isn't it? When we can be obedient. The Magi, in this three groups of people that we're offered today to see, they were filled with wonder and with worship. How do we keep from becoming indifferent? We fill our lives with wonder and with worship. We have a choice this week to remain in control of our lives, to go on the offense, to keep being the Lord of our lives. We have the opportunity to reflect and look inside and wonder if there's areas where we've become indifferent. And then we have, like the Magi, the opportunity to radically rearrange and reorder our lives in order to truly behold with awe and wonder the one true King Jesus. We don't know how much it cost the kings to actually, or the Magi, to travel all of that way. We can imagine that being as highly esteemed and educated as they were, that their lives were not very simple and plain. They were probably pretty busy people. They probably had a lot of commitments in their land. But these guys gave up everything and went on a journey. What we can deduce from the scriptures is that by the time they got there, Jesus was approximately 2 years old. That's a long time gap. And these guys set everything aside to go and behold with wonder and awe the one true king that is Jesus. I want to invite us this morning. That's it. Can you believe it? My timer says I have 11 minutes left on my to talk here. We don't need a lot of words to truly behold and be in wonder and awe of the one true king. Christmas for me, you know, Mike shared the story of my amazing mother and using the word deflated. I felt quite deflated this week myself for a number of different reasons. And the very best thing for my soul was to come here. I guess I do have a piano at home, but I came here and I turned on the keyboard and I just worshiped. And I wept while I worshiped. It was snotty and it was ugly, and I'm glad there was nobody else in the building. But when we come into the presence of Jesus, and we behold his beauty and all that he has done. We're able to lay all of that down. We're able to recognize that he is the one true king, and that in his presence, everything changes. So the way that I wanted to end my message this morning, or this time, was to just give us an opportunity to wonder and behold the presence of Jesus. So I'm going to go over to the keyboard. Not that we need a keyboard to somehow invoke the presence of Jesus. That's not what this is. But what I truly want to ask of you this morning is to stand or sit or kneel, whatever you want to do, but as a heart posture, to bow low, to give time to worshiping the King in your own words, and allow the incredible power and presence of Jesus that is already in this room to touch your life. That's why he came. Let's reflect on those three groups. And if you're in the place this morning where you have remained on the throne in your life, maybe in just one area, use this time to lay that down, to place Jesus back on the throne of your life. And if you're in the group that perhaps has become indifferent, and it's been a slow drift, but maybe you're realizing that right now, allow this time to let Jesus take the rope that is attached to your floaty and pull you back. Come to the manger. Come into the presence of the King. Let's bow low and worship. I'm not even going to ask you to stand because you don't have to. You can if you want. I'm going to switch mics and I'm going to give this one to Mike Bedell. Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks, Jesus. As Laura so wonderfully put before us today, the arrival of Christ, Christmas, confronts us all. It's either a threat to our personal ambitions to rule our lives and rule our world, or it confronts us, and if there's indifference in our hearts, we just go with the flow and it doesn't impact us at all. Or thirdly, and this is the group that I think I'm among, you and I today, there would be a desire to say, I want to learn in greater ways today and in the years in front of us how to be a beholder of Jesus. To walk with a heart that's bowed low, with attention that's set on Christ in wonder and in worship. Amen. This too is a grace of God. He always empowers us with choice. If your throne is threatened and you wish to go your own way, your will be done. If you're feeling indifferent about things, your will be done. But if your desire is wonder and worship, it's God's grace that makes that possible in our lives. You can't manufacture it. Let me pray for you today. Father, we submit ourselves again to the wonder and work of your word. Thank you for its authority in our lives, that it speaks to us. It even confronts our souls in the gentle and good way we each need. And I feel like I speak on behalf of most here in the room and online, saying we need your good grace to lead us forward in ways where we walk with a heart that's bowed low before you and with a heart that's responsive in worship toward you. Worship that includes words and includes songs, but worship that is lifestyle, worship that is loving well and loving our neighbor. Lead us forward in this, we pray. Now, Father, as we go into your world on your mission, we declare again our dependence upon you. We need you. May this be a week of joy. For those who find joy coming easily this week, we celebrate with them. For those to whom joy is a choice, Christmas is the greatest reminder that that's possible, and we thank you for it. Send us now in the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, we pray in the strong name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Bless you as you go in your separate ways this week. We encourage you, if you're able, to join us for Christmas Eve online or in person. If you're joining us in person, please register today as soon as possible. First service is filling up. Second service is a bunch of rooms still. So please sign up. On your way out, spend some time chatting with some people inside or on your way out to your cars in the parking lot. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas week. Merry Christmas.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.